Hello and welcome to the first InsideCollegeHockey.com podcast for the 2007-2008 college hockey season, recorded Wednesday, October 10th, 2007. My name is Joe Gladyszewski, editor on the website, also the correspondent for ECAC Hockey, joined by Inch editors Nate Ewell and Mike Eidelbus, and Hockey East correspondent and senior writer Jeff Howe. Welcome back to College Hockey, guys. I guess we'll get right into it with some general discussion. What are your thoughts on the season as it begins, especially with the big game at the Hall of Fame weekend in Grand Forks between North Dakota and Michigan State? Boss.
I am in favor of the season beginning.
Yes, I would like to go on the record and say I'm in favor of more hockey.
I will second that.
An infinite increase in hockey, in college hockey, from last week to this week is favorable. You know, I think it's a good weekend. You know, you mentioned the Hall of Fame game up in Grand Forks, where, you know, North Dakota, which so far has been everybody's number one team, gets Michigan State at home. I'm very, very interested in the Fighting Sioux this year, and you know, we obviously think they're the team to beat. We put them number one in our rankings. And then just down the road, Minneapolis, or I should say St. Paul, the Icebreaker is obviously going to be a pretty intriguing tournament, and with Minnesota, Michigan, Boston College, and Rensselaer, and you know, three of those teams played in the NCAA tournament last year, and you know, all three have, I think, some really interesting questions to answer and some pretty gaping holes to fill.
That's a great point. A lot of losses in all those rosters, especially very significantly for Boston College. Rook, Corey Schneider's gone. Give us an update on the Boston College goaltending situation, and if we don't know now, when do you think a number one will emerge for the Eagles?
Jerry York said at media day a few weeks ago that Johnny Muse, the incoming freshman from Little Green Isle, has been given the number one job before he's even hit the ice. And Muse was ranked among goals. He was on our list, and he's very highly regarded around this area. And there are a lot of people who really like what he's going to be able to do. And, I mean, there's not much more pressure that can be thrown on a kid's shoulders than Muse is right now. I mean, two straight trips and losses in the national championship for BC. They're pretty much returning. They're returning three highest scoring forwards in Hockey East from last year to this year. In Garvey, Ferriero, and Bradford. Team that can score. Team that they think should be able to play defense. Well, that remains to be seen. But, I mean, they're pretty much going to ask in the early going for Muse not to lose games, or, you know, not to go out and win games, just don't lose them.
Well, on those lines, Jeff, it would seem like if I replace Jeff and Curry faces a little more pressure than Muse would.
Yes and no. I think there are a lot of people around you who really love Gillespie and Bay, and think those who are going to come in with a lot more talent than Curry. And for whatever reason, that's always been knocking Curry because this kid doesn't have the talent. Maybe that's because he came in without a scholarship. He was a relative unknown and, you know, kind of rose to the top. But the kid was phenomenal last season. He was the best player in the league without a doubt. You can say this kid didn't have talent all you want, but I watched this kid play 10 to 15 games last year, and he made unbelievable stops. He was standing on his head more times than not. Even you played very good defense in front of him, but there were off breakdowns when he left. Tim Ford, he made a save, and he was the reason that when they went through their offensive slumps, they would take off those ties. I mean, he seemed to tie every other night last year. Reason for that.
Isn't it funny that people want to discredit late bloomers, and if you don't come in with a tag of being a campus recruit or a NHL draft pick, that you must not be very good because they're judging players when they're 17 and 18 years old?
Well, I think another thing that
worked out for
something that I was thinking about yesterday when we were putting our list together was, you know, just thinking about John Curry and how kind of polarizing he was. Either you really liked him or you thought he was really overrated. And I just think it's funny that the kid's going to have to be out of school for a year before everybody can really comprehend what kind of player he was. I mean, you know, it's not, life without him is going to be, isn't going to be very easy for Boston University, even though they've got some kids that, you know, are obviously talented goaltenders, but have yet to prove it at the college level. They're going to miss Curry, and I think we'll find that out early in the season, how much he meant to that team.
Another big game this weekend. Go ahead, Rook.
I think this year you won't have the trouble scoring that it had at times last year, just because of their recruiting class. I mean, they have two or three guys who are coming in who are supposed to make an impact right away, and two of them are playing forward. And the only big forward they lost last year who had any, you know, scoring production was Kenny Roche. So they're returning a whole bunch of guys, and Brendan Yip is going to come back. We'll see if he can string together a full season without getting injured, because he was hurt all last year, so they really never had a full-strength Yip to complement that offense. So I think regardless of what transpires with their goaltending situation, until they find a number one, or if they stick with the rotational system, they're still going to be able to score a lot more in front of them, and their defense is going to be really strong this year, probably better than it was last year.
And it's Chris Bork's senior year. Oh, no, wait a minute.
Oh, never mind.
He's not on the team anymore.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You lose one guy, and you kind of forget, and he'd be their guy right now. Denver and Maine also meeting this weekend. A Maine team, Jeff, that you have said would struggle in the Hockey East standings. You cited the losses they had, especially toward positions. Talk about the Black Bears, where you see them at this point.
Well, they lost seven of their top 10 scorers from last year, who combined to produce 205 points last season. They had Ben Bishop, who was coming off a groin injury. And who knows, is he going to be at full strength? Or is he going to be the Ben Bishop we saw 2 years ago or at the beginning of last season? Or is he going to be the Ben Bishop who struggled at times? And are we going to see Dave Wilson split time with him a little more? Because that's not going to be an ideal situation in Maine. They don't have the blue chip type recruits up in Maine this year, the type of recruits that BU and BC and UNH are getting. I see a transitional year. I think going to finish seventh. I'm going to stick by that. The Maine fans who have been emailing me and burning things in my front yard realize that you don't get preseason points on merit alone. The tradition will put you in fourth place, not exactly in hockey. You've got to be able to go through some of these guys and 10 freshmen coming into the program this year. And there are tough question marks. Can Billy Ryan come on and leave the offense? I mean, it's not just the fact that they lost seven of the top 10 guys. They lost Soares, Lovier, and Purcell, who are three of the most offensively talented players in the league last year.
But those weren't guys that really came in as highly recruited, you know, top-notch guys. Purcell was, for sure, Purcell. But isn't that kind of the main tradition to find those diamonds in the rough and they'll turn out to be better players than they're projected at this time in their careers?
And that very often. He takes a ton of pride in turning players from what I respect into very good hockey players on their team. So when I was asking him last year how he would feel if Purcell will leave after his freshman season, he thought it would be a giant mistake for Teddy to go because of the things that, you know, main players tend to go through during their 4 years. Well, they really do. They turn from average players, average crews, into top-tier players by the time his team is. More than true for Lovie and Soares, especially. I mean, Soares was one of the most underrated players in the league last year, I thought, and he scored over 40 points. So Yeah, they do find the depth more often. They don't have the big recruits, but they're still looking at 10 guys who aren't going to come in and make that progression from the beginning of the freshman year to the freshman year. That's the process. It takes 2 or 3 years typically for those guys.
Let's talk a little bit more about Michigan, Bus. You're out in that neighborhood. Tell me about the Wolverines, and they're going through kind of the same thing that Maine faces, but people don't expect a huge fall-off in that instance. What are their keys this season?
Well, I think that the number one key is consistent goaltending. Again, that really falls in on the shoulders of Billy Sauer, who's back for his junior year. And, you know, I got an email or an email from a reader recently that said, you know, why do you continually focus on Sauer? And he, you know, backed it up with some statistics, but, you know, and not kind of blaming it on a whole defensive effort. But, you know, he has just been so wildly inconsistent in his previous 2 years where, you know, he could be really good one game and then come out and play a game like he did in the first round of the West Regional against North Dakota and give up 8 goals. You know, I think that's the biggest question mark. And number two on that list is, you know, replenishing a defensive unit that really lost a lot of guys, you know, starting with Jack Johnson, obviously, who stepped right into the lineup for the Los Angeles Kings, and also Matt Hunwick and a couple other guys, you know, who were really good role players and guys that could be counted on night in, night out. You know, again, they're Michigan. They've got talented recruits, and scoring never seems to be a problem for the Wolverines. You know, again, the question mark is can they keep pucks out of their own net, not just from a goaltending standpoint, but also trying to replenish a blue line that was really decimated by graduation and defections to the pros.
I saw two teams play on Sunday. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Mike mentioned Jack Johnson, and everything you hear now about Jack Johnson is parallel to Eric Johnson. And you look at the two teams they left and the defense corps that are leading those teams, including those guys, but then you throw in the Goligoskis, the Hunwicks in Michigan's case, and really a lot of parallels between those two.
Yeah, that'll be interesting this weekend to see what happens at that icebreaker tournament. And Rensselaer gets a chance to measure themselves against three very strong programs early in the season. They're trying to take some strides at that program and get back to a national caliber level of play, and tournaments like this will be good for the engineers, if not this year, certainly in future years, for their younger players to get some confidence. There have been very, very strong reviews on two freshmen that we mentioned in the recruiting rankings in Brutlag and Helfrick for the engineers, the forward Tyler Helfrick and the defenseman Brutlag. He is from Minnesota, right? Holy Angels, Bus?
Brutlag, Brian, yes. Brutlag? He is Holy Angels, yeah. Academy, or Academy of Holy Angels. And the other kid, Helfrick, was, I believe he played for Prince George last year.
Yes. Yeah, he played in the early, most regular season and went to the BC League for the playoffs. And the segment was brought to you by Bob Norton. What I was going to mention was two teams I saw. I talked about some of the other matchups nationwide of teams that were in the NCAA tournament last year or are regular participants in that tournament. I saw Clarkson and St. Lawrence on Sunday, and as you mentioned at the start of the podcast, welcome back college hockey. It felt great just to be in Appleton Arena, a packed house in the North Country Rivalry. It was a non-league game, but you could tell it was important to those campuses and those communities. And it was two really good hockey teams who certainly have expectations to get back to the NCAA tournament and make a good run this year. What we saw in that game was pretty much what we've known. St. Lawrence is going to work real hard, and you're going to have to play a full 60 minutes to beat them. They outworked Clarkson, and they made some breaks, and they won the game 3-2. Is Clarkson more talented? Sure they are, but they didn't bring an effort that matched their talent level. David Leggio played great for Clarkson in net, and I was very, very impressed by St. Lawrence defenseman Sean Fensel, who, if he plays like he did on Sunday, would certainly be an all-league type player for the Saints.
Is he going to play on Sundays?
Sean Fensel?
I'm just
well,
kidding.
If John Lyles can. He's actually got some Lyles attributes. He's not very big.
And you like him?
Yeah. He moved the puck. He made good decisions. He didn't throw the puck away, you know, which was different than Lyles. He did some nice things. Made some good reads. Played good angles. I really, really was impressed. He was certainly one of the two or three best players on the ice that afternoon.
There you go.
So there you go. Can we start deterioration now?
Well, I was gonna bring up something, but I didn't know if it was too soon to start deteriorating.
I think we're ready.
We are. Huh?
I got a note. Can I start? Can I kick this
Absolutely.
Off?
I was just gonna mention, you know, you mentioned John Lyles. I was gonna comment on the number of guys I saw just flipping through the center ice package the other day. I think on Saturday night, especially when there was 14 games on, all the guys that made the jump right from college to the NHL. You know, we mentioned Jack Johnson, obviously Eric Johnson, Steve Wagner from Minnesota State is in the Blues lineup and got raves from Andy Murray. And I haven't seen Tampa Bay yet, but I have heard that Mike Lundin is Matt Smaby was in the minors last year, but Maine's Mike Lundin debuted for them.
Cogliano.
Yeah, he's been okay for them. Taves was supposed to debut tonight, I believe.
Yeah, he scored a goal. First shot.
There you go. He's good.
Get that Stanley Cup trophy polished up. Hello, Windy City.
And I'm sure there's other people I'm missing that skipped the minors altogether and walked right into the NHL lineup. But you know, again, I think that just shows the kind of quality players that there are at the college level to be able to step right in and make impacts. Paul Stastny's also a pretty good hockey player. I would just like to point that out.
He's on pace for like 200 points.
He's going to get 212 this year, I think.
We mention a lot about, and we grumble unfairly probably, about emails that we get pointing out perceived slights from fans, whether it's regional bias or rating players or teams too low or too high. But we also get a great amount of positive feedback, and I'd like to thank everyone for a lot of positive emails that followed from our Inch 5 feature. Our fifth year has wrapped up, and we're into year 6 of Inside College Hockey, so thanks for reading, and thanks to everyone for those notes. We do appreciate them.
Now and here's something we hope you'll really like.
And this is actually something you'll really like.
Oh, no.
When discussing the fifth anniversary of Inch, Clarkson radio announcer Bob Alfeld said, "I can't believe you guys are already in kindergarten." Which was awesome. Summed up perfectly.
Yeah, that's great.
It's hard to believe sometimes.
It is. It is. The potty training was a rough stretch, but we made it through.
The nice thing is I still
to keep Rook on newspaper. Now.
Yeah.
Still keep Jeff Allen some newspaper.
I spend an hour every afternoon sleeping on a blue mat.
That's good.
That's a perk.
That's good.
You gotta,
kindergarten is fun.
It is. Yeah, it's been a... it's hard... In one sense, it's hard to believe it's been 5 years, and in another sense, it seems like it's been about 50, but...
But we do it because we love it, and thanks for reading.
Yeah, and...
Nate, your deterioration topic was?
Uh-oh.
Oh, so somebody pointed out a favorite team for me this year. And I kind of like to look at teams and try and figure out who you root for and who you like. And I think I'm going to root for Quinnipiac this year. Not just because you think they'll be pretty good, Gladby, but they have three guys on their team named Myers. Or one named Meyer and two named Myers. And they're all spelled different.
Well, that's good.
I like that stuff. Even though, you know, it reminds me of Jess Myers, but other than that, it's pretty good.
I didn't say that, Jeff.
you were
thinking. I know it's hard to. I know it's hard to believe, but I didn't say that. I thought your deterioration commentary was going to be on the blossoming Mike Comrie and Hillary Duff romance.
We can't. How can we leave that out?
We cannot.
But have we?
That should be in the lead section. That's not deterioration.
That's well, okay. I mean, obviously, the big thing was, well, first of all, they started dating, and then he goes out for her birthday. Mind you, Hillary Duff is
she's 17 yet?
She's 20.
She's been in rehab 17 times.
No, you're thinking of Lindsay Lohan.
Keep this girl who made her fortune on the Disney Channel.
Go pick up an Us magazine and get this sorted out. But
I'll pick up a Boston Herald.
Anyways, so
back to Comrie and Duff.
Yeah, so she's worth like $100 million.
Yeah,
probably more than
they
more
can
than,
probably so, afford a house in the Hamptons.
Right.
Yeah, and then he's buying her presents.
Yeah, and he buys her like this $100,000 Mercedes SUV that I think it instead of gasoline, it actually burns trees.
Awesome.
And he puts a big bow on it and left it in the garage.
That's great.
But this, as Bus brought up, the real question here is what's the nickname for the couple?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to say the one I brought up.
No, we don't have an answer to this.
Well, we'll take suggestions. Send them to inch@insidecollegehockey.com. Do we also want to talk about the blossoming Inch editor Joe Gladyszewski and country superstar Carrie Underwood romance? Someone let her know that.
Somebody needs to fill.
If you happen to see Carrie Underwood, nice please to, let her know
nice
about
to,
our romance.
Nice for her to take part in it a little bit.
Yes.
I'm not a Hillary Duff fan. I don't. She's all right. I'm just.
Girls really like the pickup line. Hey, do you want to see my webpage? That works great.
Do you want to read my college hockey site?
Yeah, that's...
Yes? Oh, you go to Northern Michigan? we kid because we care.
Maybe this isn't something I should bring up right now, but we are in... We are in the throes of deterioration, but, you know, when we were putting together our fifth anniversary stuff... We put together also a list of everybody who's contributed, and no females on that list. I don't know. Should that be something we should?
Don't tell our HR department.
Yeah, I know we're gonna.
Well, you know though, Bus, in the Inch timeline. One female was very prominently featured as a major event in Inch history. It took place in Buffalo in 2003 Frozen Four.
Well, yeah, I mean,
So that's the contribution to Inge.
You're right. That is a contribution. We'll show that to the... When now comes beating on our doors. Let me somebody having a wrestling match back there?
Scuba. Rook, what do you want to deteriorate? Anything?
I don't know. Did you guys hear Susan Waldman crying after the Yankees game the other night?
Yes.
Absolutely heard it. It was great.
That. Hey, you know.
It's going away. Party in there. I didn't think anything would top her on-air emotional breakdown upon the Yankee signing of Roger Clemens. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, well,
what was up?
Clemens is in George's box.
Yeah.
Excuse me? Yeah, well,
excuse
me? So what was
Hey, you know, at least we know that Susan Waldman cries during Cinderella.
Yeah.
You don't?
She's brutal. Brutal.
Yeah, that's not good. And I know the clip. I tried to listen to the clip today.
Oh, are you really going for?
I guess maybe that clip will have to be part of the Inch Podcast Drop Library.
Maybe. But we don't talk about the Yankees on the Inch Podcast.
No, but we can.
So I don't think you should.
That's not why we're here.
That's not why we're here.
Well, we don't. Nope. We don't really have to talk about anything.
Usually we don't.
No.
Evidently.
As evidenced by this this witty repartee.
Still early in the season. We're working on our podcasting kinks.
Yeah, you got. And
we'll go back and look
we're
at some video.
Right now.
Yeah,
we'll go back and look at some video.
It's preseason. We got a lot of guys out here on the podcast wearing like number 74, and
I think we all kind of came into camp with a little less focus because we knew we had a spot locked up on each podcast.
And no Jess Myers tonight. He's, I can't remember where he is.
Is he with the Wilds?
No, he's,
Wilds and where the hell they're playing?
No, he was having computer difficulties.
He's, I thought he was talking to...
He apparently...
Wolves or something.
He might have tried to log in to Inch Pick'em.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh.
So maybe next time. And I think another note we should probably pass along about the podcast is that we are tentatively scheduling to do these every other week.
Yes.
Because the grind is just too much for
bi-weekly.
Too much for us to handle.
Bi-weekly yeah. Podcasting.
But of course we'll probably come up with all kinds
and
of
and we'll have more focused and directed podcasts with a larger span of topics.
Right. What you said.
That is all.
But maybe popular...
Last call for deterioration.
Maybe popular opinion. Maybe we'll be overwhelmed by listener email.
And be encouraged to do more podcasts.
Yeah, I know. For some people, it's like crack.
For all people, it's like crack.
Why?
Not good for you.
Your teeth fall out? Oh, no, wait. That's meth. I think that's crystal meth. I'm sorry.
All right. Last call for deterioration, and we're closing the podcast. We're closing the podcast. Thanks for listening to a thoroughly... underwhelming podcast. For Nate Ewell, Mike Adobis, and Jeff Howe, I'm Joe Gladyszewski.